fancy words, the post-employment restrictive covenant. What's that? People take in workers. For whatever reason, they want to make a tnai with them that to limit that even after they're working, even after they finish working for them, they still will be bound by certain tnaim, certain conditions that will still be binding on them even after they've left the employment. Now, normally such a thing is not. Sometimes it's more common, sometimes it's less common. Let's say somebody is hired to work at McDonald's, or Goy's, and they say, after you finish working for us, if you stop working for us, for another year you can't flip burgers. You flip burgers in McDonald's now, you're making it tonight, you can't flip burgers for anybody else. Such a tonight is... Probably most places would not make such a tonight because it's not what most people just say, I'll go someplace else. And they don't need to, people would not be willing to enter such a condition. But sometimes it involves on-the-job training, so it's something, a training that the person doesn't have. And to top it off, sometimes it's just there's expense involved. I know of a case in Eretz Yisrael, they have paralegal services, which they provide, probably some American companies, and it's outsourced to Israel, and they give training. So people who don't have paralegal training, they give them training. Now, paralegal is omnis, something that could be used in other companies also. So a person will come here, get the training, and go someplace else, and get money. So what do? They give you training, and they, I think you have to be in the tire test to work a certain amount of time, and the salary is much lower than the normal salary. Only if you stay after a certain amount, then you move up to the higher salary. So, talking about the Tadina, the Malchus Tadina, so certain states, I read up on this, certain states, it's even illegal to restrict. I made a chok, Tadina, the Malchus Tadina says that you can't make such conditions to restrict a person for what is important. Other states don't have such a law on the books. However, if a case will come up in the court, so the judges uses the Shikul Adah and to decide what should be done about this contract. They're murdered that the contract is here. It's black and white, the guy signs on the thing. The question is, how much is the court willing to enforce such a contract? So, let's look it over here with some cats also. So it really depends on a case by case basis, depending on what the work entails. If it's private information, private information. How long the period is involved? If it is a geographical location, how much the person can work within 10 miles, 100 miles, 500 miles, whatever the. So it depends. Now, on that alone, you can clear how much is Dina the Malchus Dina in such a case. Because for Etzem, one of the things why Dina the Malchus Dina is because it's Pe'elas HaMalchus. Here, today, the Malchus didn't really say anything about it. It's just the judge, and the judge himself, he uses a Shikul Adah. Sometimes there's precedent in one state, in another state, depending, there's a certain amount of latitude which each judge has. Yesh Lodron, how much there is the halacha here of will recognize the Dina, the Malchus Dina. If he's just going with slurs, that's making basing himself. Since the law says A, B, and C, therefore, in this case, the. So he's applying the law or judging whether the law applies or not. He's using his svar, and it's his svar. So when we have a Torah, it gives us halacha. So we go with Das Torah. We don't go with the Das of a judge who's basing himself on whatever he decides to base himself. So I'm going to mention here a case which came up here. It's a paper called "With Netzach Yisrael, Rabbi Shaul Grossman." The final is welcome.
I'm a big admirer of his work.
Okay. So in Siman Mem Beis, he has a case like this. There's a factory owner that doesn't say what the factory was making, but there were certain professional secrets involved in the production of this product. Okay, so now he made so there was a guy who wanted to work there. Okay, he made a tenai with him that if he ever he willing to take him as an employee, he could work for him. But if he ever doesn't work, and he's going to continue working for him, but if he ever quits and doesn't start working, first of all, he's not allowed to go to work for anybody else making this type of product, and he's also not allowed to even open his own factory to make this product. That was the condition that he spoke out to him. Says he made a tnai kofel. We'll see exactly what type of tnai kofel over here. But this is the question, and the guy didn't say anything, he didn't protest, so we say the chayav shtika kavida. And now, he worked for him for 10 years, this was the story, and now he wants to become independent and independently open such a factory. Could he stop him? Is there any issue on such a person to open such a factory? Or should he work for somebody? That's the question which was asked from Rabbi Shaul Grossman. So he's asking that you're not allowed to open the factory because of this condition which was made. And he says, if he does go and work for somebody else, or make himself his own factory, so it's going to be over on the lav of Loi Sashrik, v'gam yava al on the lav of Hentocha, the mitzvah which says Hentocha hein v'lav tocha lav, and is also a factor of Mechusre Amana. This is the outline of his stock. Basically, he says it's usher, and for the reason that he does it. Question is, we mentioned, he said he made a tonight. He made a tonight. So, because of the tonight, so that's the first thing really that he addresses. And it says Rav Grossman that this tonight is basically bottle on the bottle. If you want to nail him on this, it's not the condition that he made a tonight with him, it's not going to work. And he says what? The Mishnah in Mesapotamia, Perik Vav, Mishnah Yud-Alf. The Mishnah says, if a person says, Harei ani koitzer, I'm going to harvest my field, al menas mashani shaycheyach ani etzer. There's a halacha that if you forget either if you forget a bundle, a sheaf of grain out in the field or by the threshing field, you forgot, and so you have to leave it. The mitzvah is that you have to leave it for an ani. This person wants to be oivu chacha. He says, I'm going to cut al menas mashani shaycheyach ani etzer. Even the Torah says that you should leave it. He says, I'm only cutting on the tanai, al menas, that's the tanai, on the tanai, al mashani shaycheyach ani etzer. Says the Mishnah, yesh lo shikcha. That the halacha is, it's still the halacha shikcha still applies. Says the Bar Tanura 1. Masa Mashikosu the Torah, the snowy bottle. This is called Masa Mashikosu the Torah. The Torah said that there's a lot of shikha. You will not have the ability to make conditions on what the Torah says. comes to Rabbi Eiger and says, I don't understand why Batsanura brought such a reason of Masa Makaraz of the Chayyim. The, I like it's actually Yerushalmi, first, the Sefer Zishol asks on the Rabbi Eiger, the Yerushalmi, why is Rabbi Eiger, and can ask this Kasha, which we're about to say. What does Rabbi Eiger says? He says, I don't understand why the Batsanura had to come on that says Masa Makaraz of the Chayyim. He says there's a more fundamental problem with this Tanakh. This is Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha. He says what? He says, Tanai, he says, Tanai shayach rak sha'oisa ha'maisa al Tanai. He does a Tanai. And he has a problem with the chalois. He doesn't want a certain chalois to be chal. Shevi'im lo yiskai ma Tanai. He says, Ha'tanai shayach rak sha'oisa ha'maisa al Tanai. Shevi'im lo yiskai ma Tanai. Lo yiskai ma maisa. He doesn't want the maisa to be chal. Let's say he's makadish. He's makadish isha al manas sheyeshi masayimzus. Okay, so he did the maisa kedushin, and now the chalois kedushin is going to be hinging on whether or not he has the masayimzus, or he's megarish al tanai, he's moicha al tanai. Avol hocha imi masna. What kind of tanai is he saying over here? Uma shayech likloys ktsira al tanai. He's making the ksira on tonight. You're saying what? And if there is shikha, I didn't cut. It's a mice of the mitzir. Eich shayich lemadim lo yiskay matnai lo yak ksira ksira. How could you say that it's not a ksira? So what do we see over here? It says, he has a lot of kashas on himself. This is his fundamental yisoid in Hilchos Tanoim, that a tanai is shayach basically wherever there's a chaloi, but not if you want to just undo the maisa. You can't say that the maisa is going to make a tanai on the maisa, because the maisa you're doing anyway. You're saying if my condition is not fulfilled, I didn't do the maisa. So he asks on himself, what's going to be by that day? I'm not saying machayim. No, so he says each case has the truth in. We don't really have time to go into all the different cases. But the Ikka point is that when something is done, the mitzvah, you can't make a tanai in that. So, that's why he's saying, but the problem is, by shikha, if, he's saying, if I didn't, so of course, you can't say that if the halor shikha applies, I didn't cut. Because it's not that, the mitzvah, he cut. And so too, says, the Netzach Yisrael here, that it's not trying to make a tanai. He says, well, if you go and if you follow the tanai to its logical conclusion, it doesn't make sense what you're saying. I'm hiring you on condition that you don't open a competing factory. And if you do open a competing factory, so then what? So I didn't hire you. The hiring was done already. So he says, because of that, the tanai doesn't make sense. So therefore, because of the Hilchos Tanoim, he doesn't recognize that there should be a problem because of the tanai, and only because of the other issues. So first, we're going to put the other issues on the side, on the back burner, and we'd like to discuss this a little bit. How possibly, if we would want to construct such a type of agreement, how would we advise the person to the balabas who hires this person? How he would be able to make such a thing? A similar case I found in the Sefer Mishpatei Torah. The Netzach Yisrael is, I think, realized that he was asked. The Mishpatei Torah is really set up Shavuot that he's working through. It could be he was inspired by him. He doesn't mention the Netzach Yisrael. He talks about here a case of a batim matzah, somebody who makes batim for tefillin, and so the And if somebody wants to learn the umnus of being a batama, so he said, okay, so he made up that he's going to work for him while he's learning, and for 4 years thereafter, he is going to work for him, and for the period that he works for him, he's going to get a certain salary. And the deal also was that while he's working for in this period, this four-year period, while he's working for the batamacha, he can't make batim on his own time in his house or someplace else without permission from the Rebbe, the batamacha. What happened was that within this time period, they got into some fight, and he fired him. The Rebbe, the batamacha, fired the Talmud for making batim. So now we have a problem here. So the batamacha, he comes to Beis Din, and he's claiming, he wants two things. First of all, he's claiming that he wants you should pay him for the training that he gave him. Training to learn the trade of batamacha is a valuable trade. As a price, I want you should pay me. The reason why I didn't charge is because I'll guide to the hockey that you're going to work for me for 4 years on this and this price. Now that you're not working for me for this price, so pay me for the teaching. Furthermore, what does he demand? That for 4 years he still has this protection, that for 4 years he should not go into competition. What is the mitzvah, the Talmud, what is he claiming? He says, Mitzvidi, I have no problem working for you. You have a problem with me. I'm willing to work for you. I don't have to pay you anything. And if you don't want me to work for you, so you can't hold me back from working in this field. I'm willing to work for you as long as you're willing to hire me. You're not willing to hire me, I am not bound by the contract. So here we have a little bit of a different case. Over there, in the case of the Netzach Yisrael, I didn't notice that there was any on-the-job training. But it sounds like that he does he's teaching him. He also picked up the trade secret. It is a similar case, and so the Mishnah Torah says. Basically, the outline of his stock is basically that he has to pay him the full price of the training. However, regarding the limitation of not being able to work, so that t'nai is not binding on him. That's the general outline of the Mishnah Torah's stock. Why is that so? So we're going to go soon to see why he feels that he has to pay him. However, as far as working, just let's take care of that part. He says Mitzidoy, he's willing to work for him. And how, since the Rebbe is the one who's breaking the condition, so therefore that tonight is not going to be effective. Let's go back to the. Look, we can have an eitzah, a simple eitzah, how to formulate such a thing. How would we do it? We could say like this. The education costs $15,000. $15,000 is the price for training. However, if the Talmud will work for me for 4 years at an agreed upon salary, so then he is exempt from the tuition. He's not going to charge him tuition. So basically, he's mischayev himself now. And we have to, we're going to get into a problem of asmachta maybe. Okay, but before we get to asmachta, it's simple. What did Rabbi Akiva Eiger? That's what he told said, we have a problem with the Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Akiva Eiger said, it's not shayev to make a tnai on a mitzvah. You say, if you open your own factory, I didn't teach you, that's not shayev. So with our Eiger, what are we going to do? We're going to say, we're not making the tnai on the work. The tnai is on the hishaivus of the tuition. I'm giving you training, giving you on-the-job training, and for that, there's a price. However, you can exempt yourself from the tuition by working for me for 4 years, and I'll even give you money for the first 4 years' work. Oh. So that's the chayur. That would be the solution. The place is, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, Rav Aaron Levine, who was in New York. He discusses this case here. So he says, that would be the eitzah over here to make such a tnai. And being that we could possibly run into a shayla so first of all, there has to be me'afsha. Because if it's just the Torah tnai, it's not going to work. It's a stammer, this is chayda. There's no real mechanism for the knas. But if he does it, there's a tnai me'afsha, that is a price. And so on that, the shayach to make a tnai. Because he's getting something now. And right now, he's getting the education. And he has an eitzah that he can pater himself. And if he doesn't work for him, he will have to pay for the tuition. Then he raises the other problem of possibly there might be a shayla of asmachta. So then you can say, make the tnai, there's some choshev, which takes care of the asmachta problem. Now, in this case, Mishra Deyater, this is Rav Shpitz, does not go into this mahalach. He says he comes with a different mahalach, and that's even without any of this special construction of making a tnai and charging him. He's going to be chayav to him to pay him anyway. There was actually a similar story, which is brought in the Sefer Divrei Ga'onim, which Divrei Ga'onim is really a leaflet of other farming. There was a sefer called Mishkanei Saroyim, so there's somebody, Rabbi Chil Michel Hivna from Nizanu. And Simon Chav Gimel was a story that there was a yosem, an orphan, that the people in charge of taking care of him decided that they wanted to train to be a tailor. So they hired him out as an apprentice to a certain tailor. And he has to work for the tailor for 3 years. He's going to be an apprentice by the tailor. And so the idea was that he's going to get training as a tailor. And also he lives together with the tailor, he gets food and lodging, and for 3 years he has to work there. Okay? So this Yosem, life says he picked up the malach. 8 months before the 3 years are over, he decided he's quitting. He went now to work in another tailor shop in town. And now he gets money. He's getting salary. So very good. He just wasn't getting any money from the tailor. Now he's getting money for his pocket. Very good. So the first tailor is very angry. angry. He says, first of all, he says in the beginning, it's not even worth that. He had help from the great Yishkoyach. He says, the Gemara says an expression, a phrase that the bread of his stomach is not worth it. Abdu denoim kreisu lo shavya. It wasn't even worth the amount of benefit that I had from him wasn't even worth the food that I was giving him. What's he saying? Because time is, my kavana was that in the beginning, his enochanami, it's not worth really keeping him, but ultimately, in the last period, so then he's going to be producing real good, and then that will cover the expenses of the previous years. And this guy was overcharged, and he went and worked for somebody else. So he wants. Firstly, he wants to get paid. So he learns that basically with this, that part of the work that there was an arrangement over here. Arrangement is that you even without speaking it out, in effect, by working for him, you're saying that this is the price that you're paying for the education, for the tuition. And and to the point where he passed him that even if this kid doesn't want to come back and work for him, he could take from him the money that he got from the other table. The question is, what kind of price do we give for this tailoring treatment? And that's not so possible how you exactly you value it. So in our case, which is suggesting to give a price, a prepaid price, that would be the best answer. Whether or not he makes a time thing that you have to pay kach v'kach. The only question is going to be whether or not Yishayah, the dinim of Einor, Agabe, how exactly you value the price of the training. That's what he's going to say. Instead of 15 times, he'll say 50,000. A really crazy price. And also, really, it would depend on certain mixtures, certain trades. You can't even for money, you can't get somebody to teach you, because it's a very closely guarded secret of how to do this thing. This reminds me of the Gemara in Yuma, the Islamic test. Based on Sinas, there was a family, they would make the Keteris, and they had special secrets about the Mala Osha and how to do it, and they didn't want to reveal it to anybody. And the Chachamim did not look at it favorably, because they didn't, because this is something with Avodas HaKodesh, which people should know. But Gemara still says that we do have good things to say about them, that the girls in the family did not perfume themselves, because people shouldn't be cautious that they're using the keteris. But we see the concept that there are certain trade secrets which people are not interested in giving out, and not prepared to give it out. But it makes a problem regarding the pricing, the value of the training. How can we evaluate the training that he got? Okay. But the Maaseh, he agreed to it, and let's just assume that it's a reasonable fee. And so the we have a mechanism how we can enforce in the event if I provide training and make a condition that he has to work for me a certain number of years. If the person won't work that required number of years, he will have to pay. That will trigger the obligation to pay for the tuition fee, which was previously agreed upon. And we had these things that it's mayata, and also there's mechosha, that is not going to be a problem of asma. The Divrei Gaonim brings another case which is a tshuva from Reb Meshulam Igra. Meshulam Igra was known as the Gevaldike Iloi. And so the set of Chidushim, at the end there's a few tshuvas. And sitting in Yudbeis, in the tshuvas of Meshulam Igra, there was a story, which is mamish a similar story. It's interesting, he doesn't point out that there's really a connection between these two stories, but Zechariah, the case is over here, a similar case, that we have a worker who agreed to work for a person, for an Uman, and it's going to be, and the Uman is going to teach him, like we have with the Batamacha. He's going to work for the Batamacha, and the Batamacha is going to teach him how to make Batam. What happened in the middle? I guess they made up for a certain amount of time, and now, in the middle of this time period, the worker decided that he wants to leave. He comes up with a gewaldike chiddush. We know there's halacha when we're dealing with poyalim. Someone is working for somebody, but then it's poyal yachol after afilu b'chatzi yoy. Actually, the Mishnah Torah also talks about it. So he makes a big chiddush. He says, why poyal yachol after b'chatzi yoy? Because the pasuk Gemara says, because the pasuk here says, ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, avodahem. So it says here tonight to say, leave it at Yisrael Avodim. So, Veloi Avodim La Avodim. You are not slaves to other slaves. I mean, you cannot be held as a slave to work against your will for somebody else. You're free to quit whenever you want. So over here, the Chayyur, this tailor, Talmud, could have been able to quit, but no. But here he has a chiyus because of the learning. But he has another verse. He wants a time now. It was a big chiddush. He says, leave Nei Yisrael Avodim. Nope. That's if you want to be free and go to the beach, let's say. But if you're going to go work for somebody else, what's the use? So if you're just using the expression, Machos Farah B'chamar, you took one of them and you got yourself another of them. Mayinat Gemina, he says. He says, "Ad kama yikir al apayos yuchal lav de reim esheyitzer heicha de eni roitza oid lahaskir tasma." But if he's anyway, avim hu shayna be ivalta v'hayilus v'kayne le'odin acher, he says, "How could he be maskir himself from the first of them?" Okay, yesh malkum lafer, you can say. That's also nichlal in kliv ne'yisal avada, that you have the freedom to work whichever employer suits you. Just because I work for, if you're going to limit me from choosing who my employer is, so effectively you're making me an evet to this person that once I started working for this guy, I can't quit on him. If I can't quit, even if I want to work for somebody else, that's right. As a free person, I have a choice who should be my boss. If you're going to limit my boss, so you're making an evet, le evet. I am being kind to different others, it's not the same other. That's over there. I'm asking to. I don't want to work. And for this, I am asking to work. I said, "Yes, Lord." So he brings this is a marit. I'm not trying. I didn't get a chance to. So we have to go into the sugya. A mishkan is tarayim who discusses it. Meshulam Igra doesn't go b'chlal in this mahalach. He says a gevaldik chacham. He says basically in this type of arrangement where you have one person working for him, you have the Talmud working for the Uman, and the Uman teaching him. It is a mutual relationship which has a din of a shutfut, and as such, poyel yachol after v'chatzion. But if you go enter into a tnai of a shutfut, there's no exit that you can invoke over here, and the Mela is meshubed, so he has to fulfill the entire tnai. Because they each have a mutual shibud. Shnei mishubodim zelazer hapoyel lasis hamalacha v'ha'uman lelandai hamalacha. And he says a malamed is called a poyel, and so each one is like poyel and zelazer, and that becomes like a din of So they are poilim zelazer, which they cannot be poilim. Oh, even the longer al dasi yehenda b'stoyfei mi malachrei, ukvakibu mei ha'uman mi lechas amnosei, Einer Yochel Ka'eif Lach. And here's a raya. Not that the right to finish, but that there's a raya from a tshuva in the Maharik. What is the case of the Maharik? The Maharik was, there were four doctors, and they decided to join together as in a medical practice. It sounds very, very familiar like his. So there were three Reishim, and then a fourth Reishim. And he joined together in the practice. And there was a tonight, they're going to be in this practice for a certain amount of time. What happened in the middle was one guy decided he wants to make a private practice, he wants to have his own practice, he wants to get out of this practice of the Shukta. Says the Maharik that he becomes mechuyev midin oreis, that there's a chal eshibud and like shutzer, as chal midin oreis, that since there's a mutual benefit over here, and chanami he gets benefit. He says, the Maharik says, probably this original guy, why did he join the practice? He probably needed to build up his good name. He must have been a junior doctor, just getting into the field. And he wanted to be, for prestige, he wanted to build up his name, that he's part of this distinguished practice. And now that he got his name, so he's now going off to the practice. Why did they take him in? Because it's worth it for them. They should take somebody else, and it will be a bigger practice. So he says there's a mutual benefit over here, and then Mela he becomes chayiv to he has to keep his end of the deal. So too says Reb Meshulam Igra, in the case with the Uman and the Pail, a similar situation. It says Mamash like the case like the case of the Marik, and then Mela he can't be chosen. We're not talking about charging him for the training. It sounds like that if he was to work for the agreed amount upon it of time, that would be sufficient to cover the cost. And now he just wants to back out, so invoking the halacha of poil yochel lachzor b'chatzi yom, says Rav Shulam Igra, he cannot do such a thing. Coming back to our Bata Macha, the Mishnah Teyatari says, we have here, he says, first of all, he brings the tshuva to some place, which also the Netzach Yishol brings this also. The case in the tshuva to some place, there was a yid, his name was Reb Chaim Shoichet. Chaim Shoichet was a senior Shoichet. And there was another guy, Reb Dori, who wanted to get a Ksav Kabbalah for Shechita. So he said he was willing to give him a Ksav Kabbalah for Shechita, means the authorization to Shech, but on condition that he doesn't Shech in the town where he lives. And what happened was that he was Shechting over there. So there's a source of disagreement over here, the argument between Reb Chaim Shoichet and Reb Dov Shoichet. Says the Chassam Sofer, he says, there was a challenge, if he made a shvur, if he didn't make a shvur. In any event, at the bottom line, says the Chassam Sofer, he is also true to Shech. Why, he says? He has to keep the tonight. Sha'al menas came, says the Chassam Sofer, al menas came nosan leksav tu udasa. He gave him, why did he give him the diploma? Why did he give him the certificate? It's because with the understanding that he's not going to shech in the town. And if he does shech, says the Chassam Sofer, harei oiva alav loisasha ikschar oni ve'evyin. And that is the, what does it mean? They didn't agree on a price. What is the price that he's asking in exchange for the Ksav Shechita? He says, that I don't want to have competition. That is the price that I'm requesting. And therefore, if he does shech, so which means he's not giving him the price. He's over, unlike Tashrei, ha, only the end. There is an essence of shock. The Eina Panami Mishpatei Atzmai, we didn't have this of Riki Veiger, says that the Tanai didn't work. What he had here, the some places, where Sashi got his Erzain. So therefore, even if we didn't have Mishpatei Atzmai, we don't need to have Tanai Kofel over here. And he can't even, he says even more, that he can't even offer to pay the guy some money, because that wasn't the price. The price was that we agreed that there should be no competition. Of course, if he pays it, maybe he'll reach some settlement. Maybe he could be mavata on the thing, but generally speaking, without anything else, so we have here a custom person. However, the problem is with this custom person that there's a true with chesed lavra, the bavon sooner, and the argument of some person, because there's no such thing when you give. And you give a ksav shchit, ksav tzmicha, there's no, that's not called tzchiyus. It's not something that you pay for. It's not you didn't hire him to write a letter. Maybe, that's not called tchirus, and therefore wouldn't see a problem of loisashek scharoni of the edin. So you could say ein chalami, it's not loisashek, but what are you going to call it? Kablonus, mechira. I'm selling you this ksav smicha for the following price. You want something from me. I have a product that you want, which is the ksav smicha, and I'm willing to sell it to you only for this price. So I'm not sure what would be the advantage of his time. In economy, it's not chapula, but maybe it would be chamecha, that he's not paying for the price that he got. But for sure, even the Chesed Avraham says he would agree that if he taught him the umness of shechita, and he made a tnai. Whatever this name was, so this is the thing which is a derech to pay for, and even if he wasn't going to charge him, but if he just made one condition with him, don't shecht in my town, and so therefore, so in the Konami, if he does go, so he will be over under Leisatik, even the Chesed Avraham agrees. And the third, that would be says in Esther Fisho, it would be the same thing, but this guy, because that was the tonight which was part of that's why he's over on Leisatik. Agav was a famous Moilin in Yerushalayim, probably heard of him, Yosela, Yosela Weisberg. So he used to teach Talmidim, but one of the Talmidim used to make, you cannot do Mila in Yerushalayim. Okay. And Bible to make, he makes according to correct Talmidim, that was relevant. So besides that, he says that tonight it would be, that's why he would be prohibited. The other thing that he invokes is the Gemara Bava Metzia, that's in Paris, where the Gemara says that him said that Yehain, when you say something yes, it should be serious. You have to take your word seriously. You can't make a shmata of what you're saying. If you say no, it should be no. And if you promise that you're not going to open a factory, so you have to keep the promise, and even if he didn't actually verbalize the promise, but he just did shtikir klaridah, it's the same thing as if he made the promise. The Baron Levine asked the kasha on this, and he says, "Yesh mokum lodim." The din is. Let's say I promise something to you. I promise I'm going to give you a matana. I'm going to give you a big matana, and I thought that I would be able to afford it. I promise I'm going to buy you a new car. That's and then for whatever reason I'm not able to do it, so it's not a problem of him tzedek. Another case he mentions is, let's say I agree to sell you a thing or some an item, and we did not yet make any kinyan on it, and all of a sudden the price is a drastic price change. The price skyrocketed, and it would be a joke for me to sell it to you for the price that I promised you. So in such a case also, the halacha of him tzedek does not apply. So the Rebbe himself says, he calls this matana mu'etet. He says, this is, to not to work, or not to limit himself in such a way, would be called a matana meruba. And kol oid, there was no reason that he should have to work, so he would agree to it. But now that he's not able to work for this person, on such a tzad, he would not be agreed to give this so-called matana, to grant him his wish that he's not going to compete with him. That's not called a matana mu'etet, that's called a matana meruba. Coming back to the Mishnah Torah, he says, so why does he have to pay him? He says, first of all, he says, this is the fact that he agreed not to work for these 4 years is a part also of the tuition. The tuition is composed of two parts. First of all, the value, the actual value that the training has, but he also stipulated with him, he made it tonight, that he's not going to compete with him. The non-competition is the etzem, a chelik, of the chalim. And it's not his status, because he could have charged him even a higher price. He charged him a lower price. But included in that was the non-competition deal. And because using the tshuva some place, that would be grounds for the, which would prohibit him from working. And then he brings also the Shubis Mariyak, which the Meshulam Igra brings. He doesn't mention the Meshulam Igra. It says, Achir Chalmidin Arev Kemashachal Yitzchai Vishal Shutzen. What would be over here, what's the halacha of Arev? What's the normal mechanism of Arev? And the fact that I have Hanno, that you trust me on my say-so, that I am an Arev for this person, that I'm the co-signer, and that mitzvah that hanah, that the hanah received, I am in turn being meshavet myself to pay the debt in case it's not paid. So too over here, the hanah that's a Talmud got, that the guy is willing to pay him the first paycheck that he gives him, he's not worth the paycheck. Eventually it'll be worth it to him. But he has a certain hana that he trusts him, and with that hana, the mele, so that his chayvus is chal. And so it would come out that even without mishpatei atnoy, without others, it would be chal. So then he says, halach lamaisa, he comes out. So if the worker would quit on his own, for whatever reason, he thinks he can do better, whatever it is. So he says the tuition would kick in, and he would have to fulfill his obligation. He would have to pay him tuition. Okay, which so far we see that he's in on solid ground, especially if he would make it as a tnai and stipulate this night that there's a tuition obligation which is going to kick in, and was formulated in such a way he surely would be mechayev. This isn't the case over here. He didn't quit on his own. It's just that the Rebbe, the Batamacha, fired him. So he, according to what he's saying, there was two parts to the tuition. One part is the actual learning, and the second part is the non-compete component. So he says, so over here he's not out. He has to pay him the tuition component, but the non-compete is not going to be binding. Why is that? Because that part of the non-compete is only as long as he's working for him, and since he was at fault, the Rebbe, the Batamasa, is at fault, therefore he would have to, it's not binding on him, and he can go and work for the person. question which I'd like to put on the table and get some input here is, why does he have to shell out a single dollar to the Rebbe, the Batama? That's why going to be my question. This is based on a halacha sort of apoyitiki. That you're saying, basically, the agreement, my agreement was, I don't have money, I'm a poor guy, and I can't afford to pay you to learn. And I have no way of paying your $15,000, $50,000, whatever you're going to ask me, I have no way of paying. Guess what? I can work, and I'm willing to work. And that was the agreement that we made, that you will accept my work for 4 years as payment. And if we agree that this is going to be the form of payment, which would be to the exclusion of other things. I don't have to give you cold cash. Now that you don't want me to work, so basically you're cutting off your own, you're being makriv, your source of getting paid. Because the agreement was that I am going to pay you only in this format. And now that if you don't want me to work for you, okay, I'm going to talk. So I'm not going to work for you, but I don't have to give you money. But the hesken was that the payment is going to be that I work for you. So therefore, I'm suggesting that I don't see how he could be machayevim to pay money. That's my question. Unless if the tonight was that if you don't work, then you have to pay cash. So then it was the tonight. But if it wasn't spoken out in that form, and the way he's presenting it, he became machayev automatically because he got benefits, because he got the training, and training has a price for it, it has a value. Very good. But we also have an agreement here. The agreement was that the payment will be paid out in the form of my labor. You don't want to accept my labor, so then basically you're just ruining it for yourself. But I don't have to pay you out anyway. Any questions?
So the last one's rather vague. Part of the going to be Talay on the points to Sharon Rachrainen, the figure in Shahrat Hashemi attest about the fellow who rented out his property, rented out a rechayim, and the agreement was that the treasurer would be paying for the master. That was how he was going to pay, like doing some work for the master. And the master decided he doesn't want it anymore. He got richer, he got other rechayim, he bought another rechayim. The stock of big book of stock, and houses, and rush, and stock, and shock, and all the types can go back and forth on this question. But the master could say, it's not to get me to have serious, I want cash now. Well, the treasurer could say, you agreed to take rechayim, tina. You don't want tina, so don't bother me. I wasn't rechayim anything besides tina, and if you don't want it, then that's not my problem.
And was there a time frame in that sphere?
Well, the tina is probably his mind over there, so they agreed, let's say, for a year. They can. I don't know all those details. I have to go back and look at all the sheets there, but the conclusion was basically something that they argued about over there, whether the master, they also challenged whether it was master's fault that he said it, or he partially got rid of it. Rich people don't need tina from private people. Rich people buy the bread, or they have their own rechayim. So part of the
he contracted with him. He rented him out.
Not that rechayim. He agreed to let the treasurer rent the rechayim for a year, and the tina was, instead of cash, that the master would bring his piece into the session. And the
get free grinding.
Now he doesn't need that service anymore because now he's rich and he has his in-house rechayim, or he has other reasons why he doesn't need that service to the scene anymore. If he wants a couple of times, I want you to pay me cash now instead of what we agreed to, which was the service to the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a very similar
style. Right. This is a point which I didn't see addressed, that regarding this Nakuda. So really it would depend how this agreement is structured, and really on the lishonus of how it's spelled out, and each case would have to be judged on the individual merit. Thank you.